Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
4 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you in for both Marks and Reese on this Thursday afternoon. Jack Fritz behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop it. Coming up in a few minutes, Sweeney Murda. Used to be here at WIP and has been up in New York at WFAN for a long time now, and he's covered the Yankees for a very long time up there, which means he's watched and covered Joe Girardi's entire tenure as, well, at least the Yankees manager. So we'll get his insight in a few minutes on how much of an impact Joe can have. I think we're overrating. I think we're overrating the idea of a baseball manager having a significant impact and changing a lot, especially in a shortened season. 215-592-9494. And then give us your favorite baseball memory. 1993, this date, the Phillies play a wild doubleheader that ended at 4:40 in the morning with Mitchie Poo, as Harry Callis said, Mitch Williams walking off with the hit against the Padres to win the second game of the doubleheader. And there's so many of those wacky, wild, old baseball games over the years that for whatever reason stand out to you, you remember them. What's your favorite baseball memory? Let's talk to Alan, who is in Villanova. Hey, Alan. Alan? All right, going once. Alan goes back on hold. We will go to Steve in Wilmington. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you, Joe?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Hey, I feel with your times when you got rained out.
Oh, it's the worst, Steve. It's the worst.
Well, the thing was, it was 12-year-old district all-stars. We were down 5-1. We got the game to 6-5 in the top of the fifth. And guess what?
The rain came.
The rain came. We had bases loaded, off the field, lightning came, and guess what?
You had to revert to the last inning. Didn't count?
The game was official after 4. So the score was 5-1.
Yeah, it's the most frustrating thing. Like, it's one thing when you're watching a game and that happens, but when you're playing a game and that happens, like, you feel like you were cheated out of the actual outcome.
Well, and that was Little League State Championship.
That's a big game.
You know, and then the next year they made it double elimination.
Oh, so they changed the equation on after that. They tried to fix it a little bit. Steve, it's the worst. Like, you know, for me, it's been basically 20 years, 21 years since then or whenever it was, and it still bothers me.
That was 1978.
You know what? Those kind of losses, they stick with you. I mean, I feel you, Steve. We appreciate the call. Steve's upset from 1978.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to get over my loss in high school, and I don't think I'll ever get over it. I'm never setting foot in Happer or Horsham ever again.
You're going to be that guy who's in his 70s talking about the game.
Joe, we had a 3-run lead in the seventh inning, and we blew it.
I know, but eventually time has to heal these things.
No, that team is special. I'm not even close to being over it.
I think it's actually getting worse just listening to you talk about it. Like, you get more – every time this story comes up, it feels like you get more emotional about it.
Because I should have pitched. I should have been able to pitch that game.
Well, listen, the rules are the rules.
If I didn't dominate game, whatever.
Yeah, the rules are the rules sometimes. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to – we got Matt in New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy? What do you think here?
Yeah, I was at the Phillies game in 2011 when it went 19 innings. And Wilson, someone, the second baseman, came in, and, well, he won the game, but he got the win. I think Ibanez hit a home run. I forget how it went, but I remember I was with a girl at the time, and we were on the Kiss Cam. So it was my birthday, the Kiss Cam. a whole bunch of, and the game just kept going. She's begging me to leave. She's like, come on, let's just go. I'm like, this is like history, I think. You know, I think we should stay and watch. So I ended up, I live up in Scranton, and I got home maybe at like 4:30 in the morning. I had to get out for work at 6, and I got up for work and slept on a roof because I do heating and air conditioning. But I'll never forget that. It was worth every second to for that game. You know, I'll never forget that for sure.
You know what's funny? You brought that up, Matt. It's been a while now, obviously, since we've had all had a game to watch. And sometimes you have those games you have to stay up late for, and you're like, oh, man, how am I going to get up for work? You know what? I'm not going to mind now. Like, I'm ready for that. We've all got to sleep a lot the last few months. I am not going to be upset if we get some late games. All right, let's go to the guest line here. Sweeney Murdy, who has covered Joe Girardi in New York for many years, watched all of his managing with the Yankees. And Sweeney, of course, been with WFAN. He was here for a time as an update anchor, a Phillies fan as a kid. He joins us now to talk some Joe Girardi and baseball. Sweeney, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a while since we've talked, and we thought with baseball coming back and Joe Girardi being someone we've talked a lot about here lately, that you'd be a great guest to bring on today and talk about Joe, because, Sweeney, there's an expectation here. Phillies make the change at manager, moving on from Gabe Kapler to Joe Girardi. They didn't make a lot of changes to their roster, a little bit. Zach Wheeler, Didi, both good players, but primarily, it's the same roster that underachieved last year, and the feeling is here, Joe's going to make a significant difference. Sweeney, first off, your opinion of Joe as a manager, you got to watch him for many years. How good is he?
Well, I mean, I don't even think you need my opinion when you look at the fact that he won 91 games a year, averaged 91 games a year for the Yankees. And there were times, I think really, you know, a lot of people want to say, oh, this was his best managing job when he had this and he did that. Listen, his best managing job was in 2009. Yankees won the World Series. That's how we measure things, right? But aside from that, I will tell you that the 2013-2014 Yankees that did not make the playoffs, those were teams that he really did a wonderful job with. They won, you know, 83-84 games each year. They were never really in the race, but they weren't eliminated until – you know, the final week of the season both years. And those were the years that Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera were in their final years and going through their farewell tours and things like that. And the roster really wasn't very good if you go back and look at it. A lot of injuries, a lot of older players, and the people that were filling in for these massive injuries, well, you know, they weren't, you know, to the level of players the Yankees would have liked to have seen on the field, but they somehow managed to stay over 500 and stay in a race. That's credit two guys really to come to mind that the Phillies have, Joe Girardi and Rob Thompson, his bench coach. These are guys whose job every day was to help prepare these players. So when things didn't work out necessarily very well, you didn't have all the star players healthy, you were still able to get some representative team on the field and get them in a position to try to win. They fell short because they were short on talent, but I think those are years that stick out to me as far as what Girardi was able to do with a lesser team.
Sweeney, one thing that was almost always part of why the Yankees were good under Joe was they had good bullpens. That's, you know, the game has become a bullpen game the last 10, 15 years. Even it becomes more of that every year. And I always thought Joe was good at it, but I always think it was tough to weigh how much was Joe good at managing a bullpen versus he always had really good relievers out there, whether it was Mariano Rivera, Rafael Soriano, or Aroldis Chapman, David Robertson, Betances. You got to watch a lot of those pitching moves, how he manages a bullpen. What do you think about how he does it? How good was him, and how good was just the talent he had down there?
Certainly there was a lot of talent, but I think when you look at how you just rattle off a bunch of names, and you got a Hall of Famer and some All-Stars who were in that bullpen. But I think when you look at how you manage a bullpen and how you work through season after season, you know, the Yankees were very fortunate that they didn't go through what a lot of teams have gone through. And you've seen it. I mean, the Phillies have gone through it, but getting one reliever after another injured and severe injuries, arm injuries, sending guys to Tommy John and losing guys for long periods of time. They had a couple of those because every team does. But it didn't seem to be a factor of overuse, of abusing a bullpen. And that's something that Joe was very cognizant of. You know, it's something when you get to talk to him and listen to him think about how much he values players' livelihoods and careers. He obviously knows how important winning is. You don't work for George Steinbrenner and not understand how important winning is. But when he would manage a bullpen it was with the idea knowing, okay, listen, I've used this guy two days in a row. I'm not going to use him a third day in a row. And it's not so much, I can hear already, there are all these old school fans who say so-and-so didn't need this and so-and-so didn't need that. Well, they always name Hall of Famers, okay? What you have to look at in today's world is not necessarily the guy couldn't throw 3 days in a row, but his effectiveness is down and his likelihood of getting injured is probably higher because of altered mechanics or fatigue and things like that. So there are bigger picture things in mind that is especially important when you're trying to manage a bullpen. Those are the types of things that Girardi was good at.
Sweeney Murdy joining us here. Sweeney covers the Yankees up for WFAN in New York. At one time, Sweeney was here as an update anchor at WIP.
I made my debut almost exactly. It was this time. It was like July 2nd or 3rd, I think, was my first update. Summer of 97, I got there. Summer of 1997. And then I moved back to FAN in 98. I've been there since. So I spent 12 months there. But yeah, it was just this time of year. It might almost be to the hour that I made my debut.
How about that? That's amazing. The anniversary. We'll call it the anniversary of Sweeney Murdy's first time.
That's why I'm on. Really.
That's really what it is. We wanted to celebrate Sweeney Murdy today. Sweeney, it's always struck me as interesting, Joe's departure from the Yankees. I mean, we know he's an excellent manager. We know he had a lot of success. They go to the ALCS, Game 7. They lose there. And then it was over. And now he spent 2 years out, and now he's back with the Phillies. There was a lot of chatter, talk, rumors that maybe he was grading on players, maybe the young players that wanted a new voice. What do you make of that? As Joe starts a new chapter, his relationship with players, what you noticed, what you heard. I always thought it was good, but then obviously it ended pretty abruptly.
I just think it was a matter of when it was that there was a time. You know, everything has a course of time. And 10 years was a pretty good run for Joe Girardi. The guy he replaced was Joe Torre. The guy won 4 World Series, yet still there came a point in time where he was not the right man for that job anymore. And that went by the wayside. I think it's just kind of cycles. Remember, when Girardi took over, the Yankees had a lot of young players and older players. One of his greatest successes, he won Manager of the Year, managing a depleted Florida Marlins roster into contention late in the year, full of nothing but rookies. The team he took over with the Yankees, sure, they had Derek Jeter and Andy Pettitte and Mariano Rivera and Alex Rodriguez, but they also had a young rotation with Phil Hughes and Ian Kennedy and Jabba Chamberlain, who were all going to be part of the future. Wave after wave of young bullpen arms, as we kind of talked about a couple of minutes ago. He's managed both and gotten through to both. I don't think there's a cookie-cutter player that he is adept at managing, but I think you'll recognize that whether you have young players on your roster or older players on your roster, he's had a hand in helping them succeed. Plus, I think another thing, if I read right today, they're going to try to utilize DH to make sure that they get proper rest days or lighter work days for Real Muto or Harper. And I think Joe managed that part of it very well, trying to do the same thing as the Yankees stars got older, whether it was Jorge Posada or Alex Rodriguez or Derek Jeter, or Mark Teixeira, you had position players who needed some days in the DH spot. And, you're not going to need somebody to get used to that idea because he's managing the National League. Joe Girardi already has that advantage.
Last one for you, Sweetie. Didi Gregorius, who came here, and we were excited when he came to Philadelphia in December. He did not have a great year last year. Obviously, the Tommy John surgery was coming off of a few years ago really hit and was one of the best players in that team in Joe's last year there. Your thoughts on Didi and what the last you saw of him? Do you think he's going to bounce back here?
I would, I hope he bounces back. I think it's hard to tell what's going to happen in a 60-game season. You get off to a slow start. It's really hard to figure out how you have time to recover from that. I think Didi, when he came back last year in June, which was really on the very early side of the rehab projection for him coming off of Tommy John, he came back on the early side, and he got up to a decent start in the beginning, but then ran into a slump and never really recovered from it. Hit a big postseason home run for the Yankees last year, and has been a big postseason performer. He's a terrific player. He really is, offensively and defensively. If he's able to get into the rhythm of the season, remember, he's only played – this is the thing with everybody. you really haven't played baseball in 9 or 10 months, and now you're going to play baseball 60 games in 66 days if all goes smoothly. That's asking a lot for anybody right now, let alone somebody who had to rehab an injury for 9 months and then came back and only played half of the season last year and struggled a bit. I think there are mitigating factors with all of this when you think about how we're going to react and try to read who all these players are in this season. But if all things are equal, I think Didi Gregorius is a tremendous bounce back candidate. And I think you'll see all the, just how wonderful he is on the field. It's really fun to watch. He's a fun player to watch.
Sweeney, great talking to you. I appreciate you hopping on today. And hopefully, look, in 3 weeks we'll have some baseball back to watch and talk about. And happy anniversary on your WIP debut in 97.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's around. Thanks for having me on and recognizing that one. I guess the Yankees-Phillies will be on the docket at some point, too, when we see a schedule. So that'll be a lot of fun.
That will. That. Yeah, thank you, Sweeney. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
There you go. Sweeney Murdy, covered Joe Girardi there in New York. Obviously a big Girardi fan, as you could tell there, and thinks he's going to do some good things here in Philadelphia. The bullpen thing, I mean, it worries me. I mean, the Phillies bullpen worries the heck out of me, especially now that we know some guys, Ranger Suarez and Hector Neris and who's the other one? Suarez, Neris?
Tommy Hunter.
Tommy Hunter.
The lock of the century.
What is that bullpen going to look like on opening day?
I think I might be getting my call.
You know what? Yeah, they might have, you know what? If they have to call you, we're just going to call this whole thing off.
What about Neshek? He's out there.
He is out there. Jared Hughes is not. Our buddy Jared Hughes signed with the Mets the other day. 215-592-9494.
Looks like a crazy person.
I think he pitched like a bad pitcher, too. Tom is in Washington Township. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Tom. What's going on?
Now, I just want to talk to you guys about my favorite baseball moment.
Yes. What is it?
So I was I went to the Kevin Millwood no-hitter back in the day with my dad and my neighbor. And so we had his my neighbor's piece was like whatever the Diamond Club was for the Veterans Stadium. And it's like the fifth or sixth inning, and this kid looks over, my neighbor looks over to me and my dad, and he goes, is it halftime yet? Right in the middle of the no-hitter.
Halftime?
Halftime, yeah. That's what my dad was like. Yeah, we got the wrong sport, bud.
Was that an early season game, if I remember, April? That was an early season game.
Yeah, it was about around April, May, I believe.
The Kevin Millwood no-hitter at the Vet. Yes, I remember, 2003. Tom, what do you think of Girardi?
I think people are underappreciating him a little bit because with him, I feel like he's going to be holding the players more accountable than what Tapper did. And he's also, like, he's not going to – he knows how to manage the bullpen a lot better probably, too, and not overuse the arm.
Well, that part, and Tom, it's a good call there, and especially the overusing of the arms. I mean, Girardi's just way more experienced at that. The Phillies did have a lot of injuries in the bullpen last year. I don't think it's fair to blame Gabe Kapler or a manager when you have bullpen injuries. I mean, that could just happen. That relievers get hurt all the time. But what Sweeney said to us a few minutes ago, Girardi did have a really good track record of not getting his relievers hurt. Now, part of that is just some guys are durable, some guys are not durable. Every manager shouldn't get credit or blasted for guys getting hurt with pitchers. But, I mean, I think there was times last year where the way Gabe used pitchers, I'm not saying he got them hurt, but it was different, and I don't think the pitchers loved getting up every couple days or every other inning and not knowing if they were going to come in the game. Joe just has way more experience managing a bullpen. I mean, Gabe did a good job at the end. They pitched well. But like
the fourth lowest second half bullpen ERA in baseball.
Listen, I someone told me that at a very big press conference last year. He got them to
pitch. If we don't, we don't.
Andy, but the way he handled the bullpen, the way he went about it, I don't think it was appreciated by every guy there. I think Joe, he's been doing it for, I think Joe has 11 years managing in the major leagues. That's a lot. I mean, Gabe had one before last year, so I think he just will do it in a way that I think the guys in the bullpen will probably just buy into what Joe's doing just on the surface. So Joe Girardi's done this for 11 years. Joe Girardi did this with Mariano Rivera. He knows what he's doing. Gabe didn't get that benefit of the doubt from us, but I don't think he got it from his pitchers either. Not all of them wanted to do what he wanted to do. That's a problem. Those pitchers are, we know pitchers, Jack. They're babies.
Well, I mean, the Phillies bullpen last year was full of babies.
They were.
Neshek, Tommy Hunter. I mean, Like Neris went through that weird stretch where he
couldn't get warmed up.
Yeah, and made Gabe look like an idiot.
Yeah, my whole thing is when they hand you the ball, get outs. That's your job. Just get some outs. 215-592-9494. Are we overrating or underrating Joe Girardi's impact on the 2020 Phillies? I believe we're overrating it. Girardi's a good manager, but I think we are overrating how much of an impact, how big of a deal it is to have a manager switch, to have Girardi here. And what's your favorite baseball memory all time? This date, 1993, the Mitch Williams walk-off at 4:40 in the morning against the San Diego Padres. And on the other side, we have some updates for you. Playoff odds on the Phillies. Have they gotten better or have they gotten worse with the shortened season? We'll hit on that next. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. Joe Giglio in for Mark Cerise, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.